Father, it is so good to be together tonight. We acknowledge that you are with us. We agree together that you are Lord. We thank you, Lord, tonight that we don't celebrate a tomb that has a body in it. We celebrate an empty tomb, that you overcame the power of sin, death, and hell, and are seated at the right hand of God. Thank you, Lord, for giving your life for us. We love you. Lord, we seek to worship you tonight with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We give you this next 50, 60 minutes or so. This is your time, Lord. Thank you for the time that we have had to look inward during this Lenten season and allow you to do some deep spade work. Lead us on, O King, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good evening. I'd like to share with you a scripture from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22. And hear the word of the Lord. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives with his disciples, and they followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, and he knelt down and he prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but your will be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from his prayer and went back to his disciples, he found them asleep. And they were exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." Thank you.
Let's stand together and sing.
I spend in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. Knowing not it was for me he died at Calvary. By God's word and last my sin I learned, then I trembled at the law I spurned. My guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. There your mercy and your grace was free. There your pardon multiplied to me. There my burden soul found liberty at Calvary. Apply to me. There my burden so found liberty at Calvary. Yeah.
There
mercy and your grace was free. Then your pardon multiplied to me. Then my burden so found liberty at Calvary. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Yeah. There your mercy and your grace was free. There your pardon multiplied to me. There my burden so found liberty at Calvary. There your mercy and your grace was free. There your pardon multiplied to me. There my burden so found liberty at Calvary. At Calvary.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated.
And going on with the reading in Luke. While Jesus was still speaking, a crowd came up, and the man called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus asked him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" When Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, "Lord, should we strike with our swords?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. But Jesus answered, "No more of this." And he touched the man's ear, and he healed him. This is the word of life for
Amen.
The people of God.
Yes. Amen.
Like hinges straining from the way, my heart knows.
Bow your heads and your hearts with me right now. Thank you, Father, that we bring such a small offering to you tonight by gathering together. This is just a tiny glimpse of what heaven will be like. Jesus, when you were praying in the garden, I believe that you saw humanity. And even though it was hard for you, you sacrificed for us. So we give a small sacrifice to you right now of our lives and our hearts before you. We ask that tonight that you would gather your people and that you would just pour out your presence so that we can go out and pour out your presence on others. Be with John as he speaks. And we thank you for all of this and all of these people gathered here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand together and sing Jesus Messiah.
Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah. Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah. Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all.
Praise the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to invite our ushers to come at this time. The chamberlains are going to come and play the offertory for us. There's a bulletin in your hands, I believe, and it shares also where the offering is going tonight. We would invite you to participate if you can. The offering will be going to Dixon Habitat for Humanity and Shining Star. You can make your checks payable to DACMA, which is the Dixon Area Christian Ministerial Association. So if our ushers would come at this time to receive our evening offering.
Heavenly Father, none of us want to associate with Judas. He's the one disciple that we all kind of turn our cheek away from. But Lord, tonight, I pray that you would forgive us for focusing on earthly desires instead of kingdom glory, for taking things into our own hands and pushing away you, for thinking we know enough not to listen to what you're speaking to our hearts and not seeing what you would have us to do. Forgive us, Lord, when we, like Judas, have betrayed you with a kiss, hurting the body of Christ through careless words, by careless actions, by things we do and the things we've left undone. Lord, thank you in your great mercy that you are greater, wider, deeper, and stronger than anything I do.
Shall bow down. An olive merchant, are you not? And I'm told a prosperous one.
Well, I do a little business here and a little business there. I get by.
And I'm also told that you could tell me about the night that Jesus of Nazareth was arrested, that you were there.
Well, wait a minute. That was over a year ago, way in the past, and I really don't like to talk about it.
Why not?
Because it was a painful time in my life. I'm not proud of it.
Were you part of the mob when Jesus was arrested?
No, nothing like that. Say, who are you anyway?
Let's just say I'm someone who's interested in getting the facts. If the memory is so painful, maybe it would help if you got it out.
Listen, I don't need to tell a stranger what's going on to get help. And if I decide to talk about it, that's my decision, okay?
All right. Just calm down. There have been so many strange rumors floating around. I just thought that you might like to tell someone what really happened. You were there.
Well, I guess. Yes. I've heard some weird versions of that night. I guess I don't mind talking about it. I've finally learned to live with what happened, and there's no doubt that I'm better for it, but most people don't realize that.
So you're saying yes, You'll tell me?
Sure. What do you want to know?
Well, just start from the beginning.
Okay. Let's see.
Yes.
I guess I'll just never forget that night. It was pitch black, and as I started through Gethsemane, I almost turned around and went back, but there was nothing back there for me. My wife had made that quite clear. Somehow, she had overheard my conversation with Ananias.
Wait a minute. Who's Ananias? And conversation about what?
Let me tell it, okay? All right, I made a secret deal with my lifelong friend Paul to buy 2 acres of his olive orchard. Now, this olive orchard had been in his family for generations, and he loved that land, but he wasn't a good businessman, and things were getting tough for him. His family didn't know anything about this, and he didn't want them to worry because his family was everything to him. He said he'd tried everything, but every deal had fallen through, and he was desperate. His last hope was this land. So he decided reluctantly to sell some of it, but he could only justify it if he could sell it to a good friend who would keep it till he could buy it back. Someone he could trust. I was reluctant, but then I thought it would certainly help my business too.
So it wasn't all just love and friendship on your part.
Yeah, well, he was a good friend, but it didn't hurt to look out for oneself either.
Then you made the deal?
Yes, we did. But the poor guy was so nervous about it that we had to meet in a nearby village to sign the papers. He was scared to death someone would see and wonder what was going on and start spreading rumors. But when we got to this village, there was such a big crowd in the marketplace listening to this guy that Paul was really spooked, and we had to sneak off to a dark corner in someone's garden.
Hold it a minute. Who was the man that the crowd was watching?
I didn't know. I had never heard of him before. But someone said he was a magician who traveled around performing miracles. And, you know, these guys pop up all the time in the countryside. But from what I ever overheard later, after we had signed the papers, this magician had turned water into wine at a wedding somewhere and had made a blind man see, and that every day he had cured people of sicknesses. And I remember thinking, I don't know how these guys do it, but they certainly can get the crowds.
Did you see this magician, as you call him?
Yeah. I finally got a look, and I remember thinking he didn't look nearly as scruffy as most of these kinds of people. He looked calm and sort of above it all. He had them all eating out of his hand, and no mistake about that. Another odd thing I noticed was that he had a group of friends, almost like guards, who seemed to be protecting him from the crowd. Everyone was reaching for him, and he could easily have been trampled, I thought. They must think he's something special.
Did you ever hear his name?
No. Only that he was someone from Nazareth.
How many men did he have with him?
10, maybe 12. I couldn't get that close. You know, it was strange. Somehow that scene stayed with me for ages.
Did you ever see that particular magician from Nazareth again?
Yes, I did, but listen, let me tell it my way. You make me feel as if I'm on trial. Hey, I know. I bet you're one of those scribes who thinks he's a lawyer. Am I right?
Sir, all you need to know is that I'm a seeker of truth. Now just tell me what happened next, please.
Well, you don't have to get huffy. How do I know who you are anyway? Okay. Actually, nothing much happened. Paul was still jumpy about being seen with me, even in that village, and made me go back home first.
You know, that really doesn't make a lot of sense. If you were such good friends, why would anybody think twice about you being together?
That's what I tried to tell him. But the poor guy's nerves were shot. Right on the edge, he was suspicious of everyone. Except me. He trusted me. That's why what happened later was so bad.
So what happened later?
Man, let up. I'm just trying to tell the story.
It's certainly taking long enough. All right, go on.
You're the one who asked. Remember? Okay. Things went along. Paul had insisted I couldn't even tell my wife about the deal because she can't keep her mouth shut. So I really had to think fast about that trip out of the village. But she was still suspicious. And I didn't hear the end of that for a long time.
Why? Had you ever given her reason to be suspicious?
Just a minute. Hold it. We're getting a little nosy here, don't you think? That's none of your business. Well, I suppose that's part of the story. Sorry, I guess I'm a little touchy. There was this girl who liked to flirt, and she hung around the potter's shed where I bought my olive oil jugs. You know how it is, right? Well, maybe you don't. Anyway, nothing happened. But my wife followed me one day. Let me tell you, I was lucky to get a meal for weeks after that. And the time when someone had to bring me home after the wine ran out at the party, that was stupid. He could have just put me on a donkey. The donkey knew the way home. You should have heard her that time. It's a wonder you didn't. Everybody else did.
So you wondered why she'd be suspicious of a trip out of town. Come on.
She's always been a nagger. And don't get smart. Anyway, about a year later, this guy, Ananias, comes to the village. He was looking for land to buy and made it known that he'd pay top price, especially for orchard land.
And you were tempted? Even though you had promised Paul to keep his precious family land for him?
Yeah, I promised, and yes, I did sign a paper, but I really needed a couple more presses for the olives if I was going to be able to keep up with my wife's lifestyle. She spent money like I was a rich man.
Well, weren't you?
Well, I like to give that impression. Anyway, I thought Paul would never know. I could make a deal where my men and I would still do the work in the orchard, but Ananias would never be seen.
But what if Paul would ever want his land back?
He never would. I know him too well. His business wasn't any better, worse. If anything, he'd probably try to sell me more land. And he'd never raise his hand to hurt anyone.
But he trusted you.
I know he did. But God help me, I made the deal with Ananias. We talked in the garden behind our house, and I said I'd meet him that night in Gethsemane to finalize everything and get the money. And that's when my nosy wife overheard the whole thing. Not only was she upset because she thought she might get dropped socially by Paul's wife, but she was livid to think I hadn't told her about acquiring so much more money.
Yeah, you were certainly quite a pair.
Hey, don't be playing the judge here with me. Do you want this or not?
Oh, sorry. Go on.
Anyway, I had heard all her screaming before, and I had left the house. I started into the garden to meet Ananias, expecting it to be deserted, as always. But all of a sudden, like in a spotlight, I saw this figure kneeling on the side of the mountain slope. It looked like a man praying, and about 200 yards away towards the entrance, a bunch of men were sleeping on the ground, with several apart, more towards the figure. Those men had swords. I sneaked through the gate, past all of them, and stood behind a big tree to get a better look at the praying man, because there was something familiar about him.
And did you recognize him?
Not at first, but as I stood there, I suddenly remembered a crowd in a village and a man surrounded by his friends, and yes, it was the magician I had seen over a year ago when I was with Paul. And I remember thinking, if those men are his guards, they're not doing such a hot job of it now. If I could get in the gate, anyone could. As I watched, the magician got up and went to the smaller group of men at least twice, muttering something like, "Couldn't you even watch for me for an hour?" And then he finally went back and threw himself on the ground. And even from where I stood, I could hear him talking and crying at the same time.
What did he say? Now think carefully.
Well, that last time, it sounded like, "Father, if this bitter cup of suffering will not pass unless I drink of it, then thy will be done."
Did you know what he meant?
Now, how would I know what that meant? I'm just telling you what I heard. Okay, I'm sorry. I did begin to remember rumblings about a supposed king of the Jews who had come into Jerusalem a few days before with great crowds. They said he was the Son of God and a miracle worker. I wondered, could this be him? I hadn't paid much attention, but there was also talk that the high priest Caiaphas was trying to find him to put him on trial. This was the magician, all right, I thought, but could he also be the Son of God? His prayer that night was certainly to his Father.
And then what happened? Tell me exactly.
Man, I'm getting tired of your questions. This is painful. Oh, well. What's the difference? I've come this far. So the magician got up and joined his friends one more time. And as I moved a little closer, I heard him say, "It is enough. The hour has come. Get up. The Son of God is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Look. The one who would betray me is here." And honest to God, at that very moment, there was a big commotion at the gate, and a mob came through carrying torches. There were soldiers and what looked like priests and their servants.
How close were you to all of this by this time? And did you see the man called Judas?
By that time, I drifted close in and mingled with the crowd. I could see everything perfectly. They stopped right in front of the magician and his men, and he looked so regal standing there. I think it startled them. Then one man came out of the mob and said, "As I promised, the one whom I kiss is Jesus of Nazareth." And he stepped up and kissed the cheek of the magician, who then said with the saddest look I ever saw, "Judas, do you betray the Son of God with a kiss?" Judas looked as if he'd been struck and fell to the ground, sobbing. "Take him, take him," Judas said, and the soldiers grabbed hold of Jesus.
"So your magician was Jesus of Nazareth. But now, didn't his friends do anything?"
"Well, at first they seemed to be in shock. And then the biggest man, called Peter, I think, picked up his sword and struck the nearest guy and sliced off his ear. That guy turned out to be the servant of the high priest, and everyone began to yell and scream until Jesus put up his hand and laid it right on the open wound. And believe it or not, it healed right there in front of my eyes. That shut them all up. Then Jesus said to Peter, 'Put down your sword, for those who live by the sword will die by the sword. Don't you know that I could now pray to my Father and he would send more than 20 legions of angels to protect me if I ask? But it's not to be. I've accepted what the prophecies foretold, and I have drunk the bitter cup of bitterness that is to come.'"
Now, what do you think he hoped to gain by performing a miracle at that point?
"I don't know. But I've thought about it a lot since, and in a way, maybe he was underlying the fact that he could do most anything he wanted to, but chose healing and peace at a time of violence, and maybe a small part of him still hoped that a miracle might produce another miracle, and he would be left in peace."
"That could very well be, Josiah. Now, what happened to Judas?
"The last time I saw him was when one of the men, maybe a priest, gave him a bag of something that clinked like money and then disappeared into the shadows."
"So then you went on to your meeting with Ananias?"
"Let me tell you. As I stood there in the dark garden watching them take Jesus away, and with the torches of the mob fading in the distance, I felt as if I had walked through a shower of cold rain. Somehow I knew I had seen the Son of God. Yes, to me he was still a magician, but he seemed to practice the magic of the human soul. With a divine guidance, he was peace and love. And he was going to die. He had been betrayed. That was suddenly unacceptable to me. I couldn't stand the thought. And just as suddenly, I knew why the thought was so painful. I was Judas, a betrayer. I was on my way to betray a friend, a lifelong friend who trusted me, a man of love and peace. So even if I couldn't do anything for Jesus of Nazareth, I could do something in his name. I could bring some moral values and dignity to my life, and I could now clearly see that I had been sadly lacking."
"So I'll ask you again. Did you go on to a meeting with Ananias?"
"How can you ask? Didn't I just bare my soul to you? How can you be so insensitive?" "No! I didn't meet with Ananias. I didn't betray Paul. The divine magic worked."
"So it did. So it did. Now, I assume you went home. What about your wife?"
"Well, she started on me the minute I walked in the door. then stopped when she saw my face. She must have sensed something in me, a new strength, because she didn't ask about Ananias for a long time. I know she didn't understand my tears when Jesus was crucified or my obvious joy at the news of his resurrection, which I considered his final act of divine magic. And maybe it was more than magic. Who knows? Anyway, I never told her about the magician in my life, but she has certainly respected my new way of thinking. A small miracle in itself. You know, I guess maybe I've been insensitive too. It must have been hard for her all these months. Not asking questions. Maybe now that I've opened up to you, I can talk to her about it. Yeah, I'm going home. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm thoughtless as usual. It was hard to talk to you, but I'm glad you insisted. For whatever your reason, would you join us for supper tonight?
Thank you, but no. Your story has been quite interesting, though. But now I must go on and talk to others.
Betrayal is another one of those ugly words that can only mean exactly what it says. A lack of moral stature that inevitably causes pain on both sides. You can betray one another, or you can betray yourself. Either one brings harsh consequences that can ruin a life. Josiah's narrow escape paves the way for all of us who make imperfect decisions in our lives to stop and examine our intent. Is this Christ's way? Or do you betray him once again with the unconsidered thoughts and actions? Think of Josiah as you continue your Lenten meditation. What can you change in your life?
For the cross, Lord, thank you for the price you paid. Wash me in your cleansing glow. Now all I know, your forgiveness and embrace. Thank you for this love, Lord. Thank you for the wash me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know, your forgiveness and embrace. Worthy is the Lamb seated on the throne. We crown you now with many crowns. You reign victorious.
me is the Lamb.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Let's join together in singing the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above ye heavens. Son and Holy Ghost. Amen.
So the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered His words. May God bless you. You are dismissed. My God.